Hello everyone, you're now listening to the Stream One podcast, hosted by Eriyo of Lagos,
Ike Dimeka,
Jadis Olathomas,
and Finn Folua.
Hey yo people, welcome back to the Stream One podcast. If you are new here, you're welcome. If you are old here, welcome back. So today on this episode, we are talking about the new year basically, and we are going to be talking exclusively with another podcaster. I don't want to do too much introduction, but the way he talks, you know that this man is intelligent, like he has given us some words of advice right now, but to him it will just be pep talk, but to us it's word of advice. So his name is Usman. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's a sole podcaster for Subtly Weird with Usman. So Mr. Usman.
Okay. Hello everyone, listeners here and there. My name is Usman Nabib. I'm a 300 level physics student of Lagos State University.
I am the
sole host of the podcast Subtly Weird with Usman. And I feel pretty honored, actually. I was thinking about it on my way over. Like, you know, I was just running through scenarios in my head that what if this doesn't go well? Mm. But the faces I'm seeing, they are very friendly.
Is my face friendly?
Of course it is. Yes. And now they are welcoming me with like this whole gusto of nice things. So it's nice to have. So you heard from the horse's mouth. We'll be talking about
the new year
basically. So I hope anything I input would be of significance.
Yes,
definitely.
But anything that doesn't make sense, they can shall cut it out.
So Jadi, how far now?
I thought you didn't want to greet us.
How far?
I'm fine.
Area alpha.
Right. I'm very fine. No. Although I'm hungry.
Fun fact, I haven't eaten today.
Thank God. I don't know. It's just his stomach is
so cold. I don't know why.
It's not
even
different.
So
yeah.
So basically what we are going to be doing today is we'll be talking about how the new year we food. You know, the new year, there's always this new year, new me, new year, new horse, new year,
rules.
New vibes, that new year, new rules, something. So we're just trying to discover how new years have been and how we feel that we change every year. So first and foremost, we're going to be talking about do we change every year? Is it true that we change every year? Because if you ask anybody, you say, this is 2022, this is 2021, I'm not doing it again. That was the past year. So this year I'm going to change, but I don't feel, like for me personally, I don't feel we change every year.
Because every year, like
every new year. Like, no, you know.
I think we change. It depends on the way you look at it, but for me, I think we change.
Okay,
we change, but not every year.
Okay, Mr. Osman, do you feel change?
This might seem
it's
subjective, but in my opinion, when you look at things from like a factual perspective, now humans as a whole, we are creatures of habits.
Yeah.
But we are also creatures of habits that evolve over time. So in relation to the particular year, when you do your birthday now, basically that's one day in a year. Until your next birthday, that's another day in a year. So if you try to analyze this in a way that it's just that since there is a metric analysis of how we measure our years now, like January to December, normally the human brain will tell you that you are going into a new chapter. You're going into a new phase.
Yeah,
so at least you can reflect on the things you didn't do well and things you hope to change. We are now going back to the basic, that we are creatures of habit, basically you don't.
Yeah.
You just continue doing things that evolve over time.
Then maybe improvise.
So when I see people saying new year, new me, the churches are a huge part of it. So when you say new year resolution, it is good.
Yeah.
It's just like a fresh perspective on things. Like you want to just okay, let's say we are starting this year, let's leave the guilt behind. But you can do that any day.
Yes.
We have people that meditate. So when you, let's say you are going through a phase now. Sorry, I'm talking too much.
No.
You are going through a phase, and then let's say you are dealing drugs. Kids, don't do drugs. Let's say you are dealing drugs now, and then you went to rehab and you come out. If at it, from that particular point, you and your therapist, you decide that you want to change things, from that day until the next 365 days, that's a year, and you've changed. Yes. You had a resolution, you changed. You had a mindset, and you changed. So, me, I feel basically what she just do is individually know where you stand, know what you can do, and know what you can try to do, and the ones you have done, how you can improve on them and them. So basically, it just boils down to me and how I see things going forward. Not that when January comes every year, I have to just go to church and then we sing and I say, or you go to the mosque because I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, somehow.
Why somehow? Why somehow?
I'll come back to that. Okay. So I'm a Muslim, so we do it too.
Okay.
We do it every year. So the way you guys go to the church at 12 midnight, although the Muslim calendar is different, we also go to the mosque. My dad says you should go to the mosque, and then everybody in my street, we pray just like you guys pray going into the new year. Because even if your calendar is different, you can't forsake the one you are using day to day.
Yes.
Exactly. So for me, at the base of everything is just, do we actually change each year? Going back to the question, yes. But is it a significant change that blows everything out of the water? No. So, from one perspective, yes, we change. From the other, we just evolve going forward.
I feel we change. But you know, like in the new year, when you that new year resolution, like in my own church now, our pastor has us write the list. Some of the things that you feel you are willing to change the next year. Just as a basically not maybe seen or something.
No,
sometimes it's just like maybe procrastinating for example.
What you want to improve on?
You want to stop being someone who procrastinate a lot. You understand? Can be part of source that you want to change in the new year. So the changes, when you look at it from the perspective of like maybe one day stuff that you just change in a particular, maybe January 1st now.
Fact that people just say it and
then maybe it's the same that makes it look that way. But if you look at it closely, it's very possible for you to actually write New Year resolution.
Yes.
And walk towards it.
It's actually advisable for you to write.
To write it down. Something happened recently. I was scratching my books. I was checking for a textbook, and I saw my notes where I wrote this New Year resolution, and I was just laughing because I did not see that book for a very long time. I saw it like 2-3 weeks ago. I was like, I said I'm going to stop this. I said I'm going to start this. And funnily enough, it's like, unconsciously, I stopped some stuff that I wrote there. Even though I didn't see the book throughout the year. So seeing it again was like, wow. So is it that I wrote it on my heart? In my heart, or I wrote it on a book, you understand? So that was when I was having a feeling that sometimes it's really necessary for you to write this thing out. Even though you aren't going to change that day, or you aren't going to change that week. But unconsciously or subconsciously, somehow, if you put them to heart, somehow you discover that you change them to some extent. Trust me, I feel it works.
Yeah.
It works,
so works a lot. I think when he brought out the question, I was like, no. I think I changed my perspective.
No, seriously.
Man, still feel,
I've I've seen
the light.
Yeah. It's more of a yes than
it's not the light, right?
Yeah. I think it's more of a yes than
because I feel bright. See, change. There is one thing that is constant throughout the universe, in evolution, everything, in all aspects, is change.
Yeah, yes.
So for you to basically say we don't change every year, it depends on, that's why I said it was subjective. Because it depends on the area
you are looking at.
And the fact that change itself is inevitable.
Yeah, you have to.
Like the transition from being a child to an adult. Look at this year's Christmas now. So nobody don't ask me now, say Alpha.
Yes,
so the only thing now is, but that was man, what will you buy for us?
Exactly.
It's something I used to do. So now it's inevitable. and they don't tell us it will be like this.
And again, the funny thing about that part that you're talking about now, it's not that maybe there was a day,
yes,
that thing happened, that it was a swap, that okay, you have gotten to this
age. It was gradually.
We just got on our way.
It wasn't even at a particular age, because basically, we know that there's some people now that they could be 32, 24,
yeah,
and they still experience these things.
Yes, honestly.
So, I mean, I don't even see it as something that comes with age, but the change is inherent. Like, it's unexcusable.
I have a feeling, though, this same goal stuff. Sorry, I'm jumping into that, but goals, like, the way people write goals.
22 goals.
22 goals this year and rest of that. Do you feel they are feasible? Like, it is
really cool. Most of the time. Like, I noticed that.
To me, it's just like anything else. It's just a projection of what you are thinking.
Not a projection.
Me, I feel that. Because I have an experience of someone writing down their goals.
I do it every year.
And the person fulfilled it before August.
Wow.
Everything.
Was that my book too? I saw my goals.
When you're constantly reminded, okay, this is my goals for this year.
Yeah.
You always try to take a step to fulfill everything.
Remember last.
You know, me, the way I put it is needs and wants. Okay. In my own book. That's how I do my things.
I don't write anything now.
It's not really writing for me per se. It's just the way I went to Amazon now to put that thing inside my cart. Now what it was for me was I just thought about it, like, if I had money, I would have bought it immediately.
Sure.
And it is something I need for my podcast. Now, so if you give me 30k now, somebody asks me, if they give you 5 million, what do you go first is and do? No jokes, you know, most people are always like, I'll first buy food first. But I tell somebody, looking at it from a point of view, I would just take like 100k, because there are two things, needs and wants. So there are things that you need, that you know that you need.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also things that you want. Now, if you go along with your needs and those wants remain there, they'll keep nagging at you.
Yes.
But if my wants are like 20, then my needs are like 30. If I get money to fulfill either of them, I'll take 5 out of my wants, do it, and close the book. Then I'll do the rest of the needs. Because then nothing will keep bugging at me, except when another opportunity comes, the wants will still be there.
Yes.
Because they don't affect you.
Yes.
So in terms of that projection analysis now, it's just me, that's how I do my own. Like, this is what I want, this is what I need. So as it's coming along, I know that I'm always going to the needs. But if I'm buoyant, wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all want to wear nice things.
Yeah.
Yes. We all want to go out and watch a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
But at a particular time, it's just what you want.
Yeah.
But if you are not buoyant, there's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
But even if you are not buoyant and there's something that you need, that's when the culture of saving comes from. You don't save for what you want.
Yes.
You only save for what you need.
Yes.
Because what you want is when the money comes, you say, I guess, let me buy this MP. But I need this mic. Every day you are collecting 2K. You just keep putting 1K because you know you need it.
Yeah.
So something like that. That's why me, I see the whole relationship.
The idea of writing a long list of goals, I don't fancy that stuff.
That's when the question comes with that.
The thing is, you don't stop dreaming. Goals never end.
Yes.
So if you don't know how to prioritize, or there was something you did in, if I can still remember, junior secondary school, a scale of preference, business studies.
In economics too.
I didn't do economics, it was my junior school.
Okay. Wow.
Scale of preference. So I still remember the man, he had gap tooth legs. I can't forget it. He was like, so now when you write out everything you want to do, you know there are some that they don't matter yet.
Yes.
It's not as if they don't matter, yet is the keyword there. So once you do your scale of preference, and then you follow that scale of preference, even if the goals are as long from as here to PPL gate, it won't bother you. But if there is no scale of preference, you keep jumping from this to this, it will eventually fall apart. Because as at the time where, if this comes after this, it will set way for this.
Yes.
And then you do that before you do any of this, it will fall apart.
So that's now, but sometimes that scale of preference, you know, some things might up to the top from below.
Yes.
So let's say, like now, as podcasters now, short thing, you need a mixer, laptop, and the rest. So let's say you got all those, then the new technology comes in. But, and the new technology is, let me say, I don't know how to say it. It's top notch, yeah. It's like the way the phone now has superseded diary and everything, yeah. Just everything into one.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you put that stuff on the scale of preference, do you think it should be up or down?
No, you see, that's why another thing is your scale of preference has to be modular. It has to be subject to change at any time.
Fine. Okay.
It shouldn't be in a particular pattern, exactly. In a particular pattern that it's just like, when you design a website, I'm into coding. So the thing most clients we always tell you is we want a responsive design, we want a responsive website. Responsive in the sense that once you put it on the tablet, it will adjust. Once you put it on the phone
it will adjust.
So if your goals are in line with that nature, when something comes along, if it's fluid, if your goals are fluid, they can just flow into each other and then some things can go along with each other. Yes. You can merge some things, that's where those categorizations come in. But if it's just rigid, and if this one no go, the rest is spoiled, then you don't have an option, you have to start all over again, and that can be frustrating.
Okay, yeah. So what do you think we should be open for in the new year?
Is it okay from each of us?
Yeah, from each of us.
Start now.
You start? As Nigerians, first and foremost, we should be open for better security. Better security. That's number one.
Better what?
Security.
Oh my goodness.
Potato. So also this police brutality should continue.
Jesus Christ.
Protested. Then personally for me.
Thank God you said hope.
Personally for me, I'm just hoping for growth.
Simple,
just
like
growth. That's just what I'm looking for. In all aspects. So, Jaddy.
Okay, so you started with Nigeria.
As Nigerians.
Right? So, nationally.
Wait, is someone saying this?
Nationally.
Why are you guys timing yourselves?
I would actually like for the women to be open more.
Okay.
No, but in political aspects, economical aspects, every aspect.
Yeah.
Women should be, although now women are actually thriving.
That's what I was
about
to say.
But I still feel most of the women are still caged. Mm-hmm. So I wish for that and hope for it. Then personally, I'll have to think about that one now.
Okay, so can I?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we are to, sorry, I'm being a skeptical, but
it's your nature.
I
see it is now, when people do things and they don't do things for posterity's sake, whatever we do going forward, to just be blah. That's just it.
Okay.
So then at that point, you'd have to take what you get.
Yes.
And nobody likes that. Doesn't sit well with everybody. Now, so in terms of what we should expect going forward, in this country, if you have to be realistic now, when we cross over to a new year, the budget doesn't change.
Yes.
National budget did not change.
At all.
The people in the post did not change. The mindset of Nigerians in general did not change. So we would all be in a festive season and we'd be hoping. Keyword there being hope. Now, it's not as if you look at it from this standpoint, I told somebody, you are like, this country no go change. I said, but you do know you are living better than people that lived in, let's say, in the past. I was like, how is it better? I said, even if your country is restrictive, it's not as restrictive as it used to be.
No.
So you can only hope that going forward, that little change that is affecting everything, and you yourself with the mindset that, okay, as this thing is going forward, what do I want to do to change the status quo? What am I doing for posterity's sake, for those that are coming? So if our minds are like that, we can be sure that going forward, what we'll be expecting would be something good. If not at all, it will be drastic. We know that being realistic is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because still, there is still one senator or one rep
that the one that brought in my head, like, how can you dedicate like 200 billion for mosquito nets?
Yeah.
For who? You know, that one was
some
too
don't
bad.
Even get it.
Who gets it? Who gets it?
Who gets it?
Nobody like, gets it.
I don't understand. You're giving, yes, you are right. Like, you are giving mosquito nets to somebody that is homeless. The probability that they will steal that thing is high. That they will misuse it is high. They will not even hang it. Somebody if they put it on their body, they develop something that will scratch them now. Yeah, throw it away.
Yeah.
So the people you are actually intending it for, but well, we know that they are not intending it for, they will just throw it in the rear and then they have embezzled with the money.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of being pessimistic. It's what we are seeing and what is happening. The other one was for generators. Budget for generators. but the state of oil in the country has not improved.
At all.
So which money? The economic system is nothing to write home about. So which money do you expect them to use to buy fuel for the generator?
There's a whole lot of things that need to change in Nigeria.
Yeah, so what me I'm saying basically is there are a whole lot of things that need to change. But if you are being realistic, that change will not come at once.
At all.
So what we are hoping for the new year is the way it has been progressing, because even if we have had incidents upon incidents of police brutality and all that, at the same time, little by little, those things are changing. Yes. If we are to
very
the protest might have not worked on a large scale,
but it did something. Yeah, yeah, it did something. Yeah.
So those little changes like that, if we can keep enacting it, I'm very sure that the next year we'll see something positive, even if the water gets muddy. We'll still see a ripple out of it.
Yeah.
So
Eric,
Usman has said a whole lot, Jerry, on this whole, because I was about saying something like this on the country and rest of that. So and we shouldn't say much about it. Just like as I said, the change is gradual. And we should just take it bit by bit. We should be conscious about the change. But personally, I'm looking for next year. It's just like I'm just hoping for so many good things to happen, you know, and just like life, as it's not perfect, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Nobody
expected what happened in 2020.
Oh my goodness, in 2020. Honestly,
I feel like part of this realization now that people have that anything can happen at any time. It's hindering the spirit of progression.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
No, seriously.
No, I've yes, it's to make you prepared.
Yeah,
I've not had banga in my streets.
Oh, I've had banga
every day.
Now I live in PPL, so if I don't hear the go from the banga, I hear it from the bones. Like,
that's scary.
It's very scary.
But no, what I mean is, even down to individual households,
yeah,
it's not like before.
Are you trying to emphasize on the banga or the culture of the
exactly the culture in general.
Okay, yeah,
normally
yeah.
We usually smell Christmas like
yeah from December 1st.
Like this,
that, okay,
like,
yeah, this is the season of Christmas.
Now,
no, I just
even
seen reborn and the rest.
No. Yeah, I passed by schools now. I went to Riade Local Council Development area yesterday to collect something from somebody, and I passed by schools that by now.
Should we say red and green.
But the streets were just empty. Children coming back, nobody was excited about. It was just, even I asked my stepmom this morning, why don't I give you Christmas? I'm in trouble. Should go and sell.
Because, culture,
you know,
culture,
at the time, the culture was changed. On Christmas Day, they are not meant to go anywhere.
That is for enjoyment. Family.
But now, even if people are saying it like a joke, some people would do it.
Yeah. Some people would do it normal.
So now that culture is like it's fading. Yeah. But me, I don't see it as fading. No. I believe it's just under pressure from the things that has happened. And people are scared.
And that reminds me, the security state in the country
is
disheartened. Like,
it's aberrant now.
Honestly, because
bad.
In the country right now, there's nothing that cannot happen.
Yeah, nothing.
And that's if I'm emphasizing something for next year, I'm just emphasizing that we should have premium peace, because there's nothing that can happen. God forbid again. If something happens to our president or something, nothing will change as much as we think it will change. I'm telling you facts, because we're in a country where we have these guys, you know them now.
They go
to army barracks, you understand?
Yeah.
To kidnap, what's the name? Major General and the rest of that. So we're in a country where even the rich
are not safe.
Are not safe.
Yeah.
So who are you, by the way?
And not to be like pro Buhari or something. Mm. A lot of people are anti Buhari.
But yeah, it's not a lot of people.
I gave somebody an analogy one time. Buhari. See. You know, somebody came with the mindset of I want to come and change this.
I'm savior kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even if you look at it, when Jesus came, Jesus walked.
That's why you're gonna tell us about your Christianity.
Of course. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things involved in the path to Jesus changing people's mind. He was crucified. A lot of things happened before that change could be enacted. Now, Buhari was coming with the change mindset. Yes, people admired him for that, but you're not doing anything different.
Yeah.
And you expected him to just enter and change everything. And you don't want a dictatorship, you don't want a military regime. Democracy doesn't work that way.
It starts with everybody.
Yes, it's a collective thing. You voted him in power, you also have to do your part. And if you're not willing to do your part, what will change? It will only, so now, most of the things that Buhari is doing, all the good ones he's doing, the media does not carry it, because the way the press works is basically what will attract
attention.
And if you see a headline like Buhari strikes out ASUU funds, that's the one they'll print.
Yes.
Not the fact that Buhari signed a bill or did you just see that at the bottom page. What I'm saying is nothing, we are just like you said. If something happens to our president tomorrow, even tomorrow, before the next day, there'll just be pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa, and then somebody enter, and what else? Do you think they will scrap all the projects they were doing?
No.
Do you think, now when you say a president is governed by a cabinet. If that cabinet, when a president, he doesn't have to sign executive orders every time. They will impeach him. You don't have that type of power. Since it's a democracy, it's of the people. So when the people bring a bill that they want to 200 billion for mosquito nets and it passes the majority, what do you want Buhari to do?
Can't
do
it.
He just has to.
What? Not even Buhari. What do you want the leader there to do? If he vetoes it now, there are a lot of loopholes in law. There will be a loophole that will reenact that thing and there's nothing can do. Or when he leaves, they will reenact it and there's nothing that will change.
So but it still doesn't change the fact that
calm
down now.
His government at the beginning was shaping up to be something okay. Not good. Okay. But now it's just it's too bad.
I wanted to explain the part of when you were talking about the press and publishing stuff about Buhari. Anyway, I do freelance with Daily Penny. Thing about Buhari that I've noticed over time is that, you know, is it Buhari now? Yeah, you can say Buhari, for example, now. There is no, how do I put it, there's no media connection between the government and the press. You know, sometimes the press have questions to ask. Like, okay, you are doing this. Is it obviously questions lead to
exactly,
story.
Exactly, they try to force it down everybody's throat.
The thing about the press is that if you don't give press stories,
They'll find stories.
So if you are not ready to talk about this, I'll write it that way, and it will lead you to say something about it. That we actually, but where is the person? How many times have you seen Buhari talk on the television or the radio? It's always a very, very
special,
maybe October 1st, December, something, and it's not meant to be that way. Look at other countries now. Your president, it should be a conversation. You should have a character for. Now you don't have a specific character for Buhari. You don't have like this is. You don't have.
It's just like a figurehead.
And so that's why persons can come up and say the person in ASUU Rock is not Buhari.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because there's no this interference between, and the media is the middleman.
Yeah.
That can make you have a character of the president. So the middleman is confused. So obviously. And now you don't have Lai Mohammed and Femi Adesina doing the talking for Buhari. And unfortunately, Lai Mohammed, he has a seat somewhere. It's called.
No. See, I was watching House of Cards.
How is it?
It's a television series, House of Cards.
House of Cards.
You watch House of Cards?
I watch them once in a while.
Yeah. And then I watched The Designated Survivor. And when I see how the president of the United States is portrayed, it's in a way that one person from the grassroots can affect the image of the presidency.
Yes.
So they don't disregard anybody. I don't know if I should put it like that.
Yeah.
So the president has to be, you have to be down to earth. Okay. Even the way, that's why Trump had supporters. Because yes, most of the time, he's talking.
Yes, yes.
And no matter what, there are some people that are ready to be convinced, just talk. Yeah. So now we don't have that type of structure with our president.
Talking is even the fastest way to convince someone. How else will you convince somebody?
So now some people don't even know. So people cannot say who Buhari is. He's just the president. He's just there.
So it's not the press spot. It's not.
Yeah, I understand.
So to round everything off, Usman, it's time to go back to Muslim summer.
Thank you. I haven't forgotten.
this is very controversial, even amongst my friends. So what it is basically is I'm Muslim by birth. But then growing up, my biological mom, she was a Christian. Now, my dad had no objection to it. So we would always go to church.
I was
attending First Baptist Church when I moved to where I am now.
First Baptist?
Yes, until I was like in GSS 2. And then the tragic incident happened. I lost my mom.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, my dad just decided that, okay, Emalosi Mosque, you are now Muslims. And my name was Habib Usman now.
Yeah.
There was no disputing it. And then I can't disobey my father. So I had to go to the mosque. But I didn't have this. Now, at that point, I was being conflicted. That now I've been known to be a Christian in school, gossip. Because just that, just one now. I was in just two at time. Because in school, they were always asking me that. Your name is Habib Usman, but you are a Christian. Even my boarding house master was like, you are a Christian. My mom said, yes. And I go to the chapel. So, but in school, we always write our names on the clothes.
Yeah.
So, if I'm inside the chapel, worshipping with everybody, like, and then somebody says, they'll be like, what's this guy doing? There was a time, one teacher actually wiped me on the head, was like, go to the mosque. I was like, no, sir, I am a Christian. It caused a lot of, so, eventually, when I became a Muslim now, by not by choice, but by standard or appropriation, to put it that way. And then, I'm not used to, but I went along with the flow. I read the Quran, like the last 10 verses and all that stuff. And then I could pray as a Muslim. And I'm a type of person, I'm interested in what I am doing. So as I was a Muslim, I went with the flow. So in school, then I was in IRS. So I was looking at everything. I actually learned one particular verse from IRS without reading the Quran because I was interested. So that's just how it was. But then at the base of it, and I've always been a skeptical person, you can't tell me that this is A without explaining that this is A. And if you are intrigued by the whole idea that you like to ask questions, I'm a firm believer that if I should ask you about your faith and you cannot defend your faith reasonably, we can't be friends. No, not like to the extent where we'd start having deep talks.
Okay.
We'll just be surface friends and
like
then.
Hi.
No, not even hi. We'll talk, but then to that extent, where we'd actually rapport, we'll not get there. Imagine there was a time, this might be controversial to everybody listening, but there's a time I asked somebody and it caused this separation between my friend and I, Osaka. Though we are still close now, but that question kept popping up because anytime we started talking about religion, I started asking questions. There was this joke I know it was not proper, but I was like, now, there are a lot of you now that any small thing is blood of Jesus. Now, on average, the amount of blood in somebody's body, now is 5 liters. Now, if you, on top small food, fly catch on top of your food, shout blood of Jesus. The person we need them, we chukan for fire, we need for miracle. Which blood you want make you use? My own analogy was the fact that not everything has to be attributed to
to religion.
At the base, you are a human. When things come up, if this place starts burning now, your human instinct will tell you to run.
Run away, not to shout blood of Jesus.
So now, and relating to how you relate with people, if at first, when you come together, I don't care about your religion. I don't want to know. You are Usman. it's a nomenclature. It's how I address you. That's how I see it. And then, when we start talking, you are talking to me like a human. Man to man, woman to woman, man and woman, anyhow. All the ideas we are exchanging is because we are humans.
Yeah.
And then, personally to you, your religion can influence how you see things as a human.
Yes.
But not that it should be blinded by it. So, when people ask me now that, are you a Christian or a Muslim? I can't answer wholeheartedly because I don't follow any.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, mm-hmm. I believe in God.
Yeah, there's a song.
I believe in the existence of God. I pray.
You pray in what?
I pray as a Muslim because I have to. Exactly. 5 a.m. if you wake up, you have to go to the mosque.
Yeah, sure.
Else my dad would ask you, like, why did you not go to the mosque? And it's not as if now, if I want to explain to my dad that I don't believe in this whole, the way you people carry religion. Not if I don't believe in religion. The fact that some people say they don't believe in religion is like, no. Religion is one of the factors that governs the whole world. Don't just say Africa as a whole.
The whole world, yeah.
If you have the backing of the Pope, you have the backing of basically 80% of Christians. It was like, you think about that for a second. You're like,
yeah,
that's true. That's why they can't exclude religious leaders from world gatherings. They will invite
them.
When they are doing something in your local government, they will invite the pastor of the largest church there to come and pray because it's an influence. You can't excuse religion. You can't say religion is rubbish.
Yeah.
You can't say it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a core principle. I told somebody that if you remove religion from Nigeria now, people's faith in religion and God is part of what's keeping them alive in this country.
Yes. It's part of what's keeping them from going wild, sir.
Thank you. It's part of what's keeping that drive constant. So, to answer your question, I'm not a big fan of how religion is being carried. So basically, if you know me, you know that we can talk for 2 years and religion will not come up. I will never ask you, you never ask me, you will never hear it in our conversation and everything like that. But if you sneeze, I'll say God bless you.
Bless you.
Yeah, because I believe that there is God.
Yeah.
I believe in God. And religion basically is just how you serve God, the worship of God, how you live your life in accordance with how you think. The key word there being how you think. You know, the Bible is a very controversial book because of interpretations.
Yeah.
Alliterations. You know, when you take something out of context and you just translate it literally, I have a group with my guys, very hot-headed people. So, anything goes on that group, from religion to world war. If you enter that group now, it's just basically you are ready to talk and you must be open-minded. We don't allow closed-minded people. So, when the issue of religion came up, you know, somewhere was not like, we call him Hitler, because that guy is dangerous. He was like, now, look at Job. So, if you look at it from a perspective, God actually allowed...
Set up. God set up.
No, not set up, not set up. Somebody was like, he allowed it. I said, yes, Abi. He allowed Job to lose his wife, children, and everything. Just to prove a point to Satan.
That I will stay faithful.
That this guy will stay faithful to me. Then when you think about it from that extent, somebody can carry that thing and be like, not true. If you read the whole thing,
you will
understand. Here you get. Yeah. So, how do I put it? So, my own version of religion is, have adequate knowledge about what you are doing. And then, at the base of everything, I'm an advocate for the fact that humanity comes first. And then your religion can aid. Your religion should aid you. There is a country that I've forgotten the country. I watched it on YouTube from Nas Daily. They share a country that they build mosque and church and everything. So basically, their religion is like not second hand, but what comes first is just their culture and every ethnicity and all that stuff, and how they relate to each other. Their religion is only on Sunday. What you do is up to you. So it's that type of mentality me I have, that what comes first is humanity. So when people say, that's why I told you, I'm a Muslim, somehow.
Well, I think I understand now.
So, according to me alone, you know, people were like, There's this saying that until you start to have your own philosophy of life,
yeah,
you basically don't know where you're going. That's why when somebody asks, like you meet somebody, you want to rap and then tell me about yourself. You know when we watch movies, that question, that it's paramount. Yeah. Every time, either they meet in a bar, they met at a party, tell me about yourself. That's where the movie starts from.
Yeah.
Do I wonder why when people ask you, when you know yourself, you can talk about yourself to a long extent. It's not about what my favorite food, do's and don'ts. Spending time with you, I'll get to know that. I've never asked my girlfriend what her favorite color is.
But you know,
I don't know. But if I want to get something for her, I know the color I'll choose. I know the color she would like.
Right.
Based on the fact that I've spent time with her, I know what she wears and all that stuff. She understands.
Yeah.
Now, it's just that's just consequential learning. It's inevitable. You will know. They might just say it, and I like the color blue. It's very nice. Maybe while you're swiping through a catalog, it's just registered. That's why they tell you when you're in a relationship, just pick the small things that people say. That's how you get to know them. So that's when at the birthday, when somebody's not writing a piece to, that's when the person will be surprised that so you know, it's without me telling you. But in the case of tell me about yourself, you know your favorite color, favorite food, your favorite movie,
what you do like, what you like,
what I don't like. All those things I'll get to know along the way. But your perspective on things, your views on life, how you think, how you reason, what will make us come to a compromise in terms of you are you and I am me. If I'm this type of person, you are this type of person, how would we come to a compromise in terms of how we are? You don't know. And then going forward, any relationship, be it friendship, it doesn't last.
Everything.
Yeah. The whole thing doesn't last because outside of the favorite food and every day they chop. Outside of the favorite food and all that stuff, there's nothing to it again. You don't know how that person's philosophy on life is. And then everything just looks bleak at the point. Nothing to talk about, and then you drift apart. That's why, I don't know, keeping friends is like, it's very hard.
It's
very hard. So, that's just it.
So,
please, before we wrap up, Abi, you said something about the God bless you, blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
As well as add, most of those things we learnt it from. From the social aspect of life.
Yes.
Like when we sneeze, God bless you. See? I don't say that.
Oh, okay.
You sneeze, so.
Yes, God bless you.
Even the blood of Jesus. Any small blood of Jesus.
Exactly.
Why?
Instead of blood of Jesus, use Omo.
I don't even see. I say it once in a
You know the funniest thing? Growing up now, if you are to witness an accident, maybe a bike goes under, a lot of accidents lately. I would just say, may God bless the lost souls.
Amen.
And then back to what I was saying, for the accidents that has been happening, the school, 10 school children and all that stuff, may God bless their lost souls. And then now what I was trying to bring up from the other accident something is, now when you have your own philosophy on life and you start thinking about things from your own perspective, basically when you are growing up, if you witness an accident, the first thing that will come to you, now that you know about mental health and all that stuff, the first thing, some people just close their eyes and be like, what the fuck, I don't want to see this. And they just go, there's nothing like blood of Jesus. Not so at the point where you realize that now it's your thoughts that govern how you react, and then your religion just aids you in your behavior, you realize that now you are growing. So, and you know, there's autism, people that don't know how to read social cues. Now, in terms of people like that, who has watched The Good Doctor? You should. The show is actually interesting.
Oh, well, I have. He's a doctor, but he has autistic. Autism. Yeah.
Yeah, so, now, from that show now, the whole concept was the fact that the general guidelines that people have laid down for sociality or socializing is just basically we should know how to respond, we should know how to lie. You know when people say that lies are not good, your parents tell you that lies are not good.
Yeah.
That's just to govern you from doing something stupid while you're growing up. But when you grow up, they can't tell you that lies are not good because they already know that now you know that there are some situations that you lie to protect. Not saying it's still a good thing, though.
Okay, like.
But it's just what the society requires.
White lie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, at that point, me, I feel like those social cues, they just grow with you and they evolve over time. There was a time that it was compulsory actually for you to say God bless you, because it was seen as rude for you not to say
God
bless you. God bless you.
But now with the corona, if you sneeze,
the way I would look at you.
So from that point onward, do you think that God bless you now is still?
It's not
relevant. Some people like jokingly, I hope this guy never give me corona.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people that are not educated,
yeah,
but they are aware of coronavirus. Yes. You just they sneeze. Go outside now. No more God bless you. So I feel like those social cues, they shape over time.
Okay.
And then I use that as an example to tell you that I do not exclude your religion aspects. It's not like it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But and it is something that is supposed to be paramount, but me, I feel like it should go hand in hand. Just interconnected something. Not like front and center or leave it at the back. So you understand?
Yeah.
That's how me I see religion. So to clarify, I am not an atheist.
But you know, you're but you believe in God.
I am
not
an atheist too. Yeah. So, Usman, thank you very much for honoring.
Yeah, I know. I have to say thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to have you because I learned a lot.
I learned a lot too. So thank you very much. So, our listeners out there, Happy New Year in advance.
This is the longest recording.
and I hope your new year is as blissful as mine, because mine is already blissful.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much and peace
God
out.
Bless you.